Okay, we're still looking at the feasts of Israel. God put them there for a reason. And when you look into them and you can get very intimate with certain things that you study. I don't know if you do that. All of a sudden, we'll be looking at the Feast of Trumpets. Well, did you ever study trumpets? Did you ever see trumpets throughout the scriptures? You get sidetracked. You can go in that direction. What has God got in mind now, you know, thinking that way? So we'll just look a little bit at trumpets because that's part of the festival. But God's got all of this set up so that we could benefit from his thoughts and his mind for all eternity. So the feasts of Israel spread through time all the way to the millennium. So shouldn't we know about them? Yeah, I think so. Then the other part I have is, how many of you know anything about the Rose Publishing? Excuse me?
Brochures,
little. Oh, much more than that, but yes. Because we're starting with that. That's what I want to show them. They have a myriad of information and panels and topics and things like this that are most helpful in your study. And they seem to be very evangelical and fundamental, even dispensational in their view. So Rose Publishing has these things. And if you wonder what this is all about, it keeps right on going. So you can get both sides of it, all this information. And some of these, I know you can get some of these at Lamb's. Thank you. At Lamb's, because I saw a rack with some of them in it one time. I don't know. I think I've been in Lamb's twice, I think. That's awful. But, you know, because some of the junk they have in there I don't need, you know. But they did have one area of, and I noticed some of these, Rose Publishing. But if you get a catalog of Rose Publishing, you can see what they have. They got banners, and I was thinking of Al, of some of the things that might want to show for the kids. Great for Sunday school lessons and learning. So one of these, and this is the feast and holidays of the Bible. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Shavuot or Pentecost, which we looked at last week, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, which is the Feast of Booths, and it has several of them that aren't mentioned. It has Hanukkah, Purim, and Simchat Torah, which is different festivals that they have. So this is great information. I shouldn't always just have it. You can have it too. Okay? Avail yourself of this kind of information so that you can study on your own. You can just have it as a reference material if you ever wonder about those kind of things. And they have a lot of material, so I don't know if I have a catalog. I'm pretty sure I have a catalog home, but if you're interested, I'll try to get one, or we can get a catalog, I'm sure, because it has the information on the back of this. So does that sound like something you might be able to add to your repertoire? I mean, this is a very skinny library. Yes.
What's the name of the
company? Rose Publishing.
Rose?
Rose, like any other rose smells as sweet. Rose, R-O-S-E, Rose Publishing. And it's just, I've had a lot of information from them. Now they've gone to that, they've got the, you know, that clicker business where you can, I don't even do that, but me, I do that, what that thing with the light that shines up, that's my speed, okay? Well, I do have a study on the tabernacle, and it hasn't been converted into a CD affair or DVD. And it's so colorful and it's well done. I love it. I love the study of the tabernacle anyway. So it's all, why? Why is a tabernacle important, this study? Who is it all about? Jesus. All about the Christ of God. And God's focused on his Son. So how joyful are you in the Son? Okay? That's what this is all about. That's what we should be doing here. We should be enjoying and praising the Son. So, I don't know if you remember this. I just brought this because it was mine. This is the original, I think. It's kind of blurry. I tried to make it a little bit clearer so you guys could see it. Remember, we looked at Passover, and that related to the cross of Christ. Unleavened bread and first fruits were the next festivals that fit together. You had Passover, you had unleavened bread, and then you had first fruits kind of blending together. It was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ all fit in those topics. So what is God saying to us when he offered the feast? Hey, look what's coming. And Israel missed it. You know, I hope we don't. And then there's a period of time where you had to count so many days, 50. And you counted so many days. Well, you counted seven sevens, which is 49, right? So you did on the day after, that was the first day, then you count seven sevens. So by the time you get done, you had 49, and the one that you started with is 50. So the 50th day was Pentecost. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he was here for how many days on earth? 40, right? 40 days. Then he said, go to Jerusalem and wait. For how long? 10 more days. And Pentecost. It was the Feast of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit of God came and started the church. And that gave us a Feast of Weeks, it's called, or Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came at that time. So God's got this all set up, as you see. Now, he's going to go further because he's got three more feasts that have to be fulfilled. And how much we fit into and how much Israel fits into, that starts to take focus now. Because there's a period of time from the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, until the Feast of Trumpets. I'm thinking it was about, well, Pentecost came in June, maybe, okay, and one of the harvests. Then you had September before the Feast of Trumpets. So you had that span of time. What would that represent to us in our days? The church age is separated between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets. What does a trumpet sound like? What trumpet are we waiting for? The trump of God? Okay. The ingathering. That's yet to happen. That's where we come in. And then we don't come in until the very end. Because that's the Feast of Trumpets. And after that is the Yom Kippur or Atonement. And the atonement now is for whom? Israel. We've been atoned by the grace of God, have we not? Don't we have atonement in Christ? We're satisfied. We're completed. Israel has yet to be completed. And Israel has to be brought together. Israel has to be brought into that point where God can touch his foot on the Mount of Olives. And when he can appear to the people, and what will they say? Well, where'd you get those marks in your hands? He says, got these in the house of my friends. So that period of time is for Israel, and it's going to be happening mostly in the atonement. Okay? And those are the feasts that are coming. And then the final feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's the millennium, when the lion will lay down with the lamb and they will have booths to dwell in. We will have booths to dwell in. And you don't keep the feast, you don't get rain. And we can follow that process through the book of Zechariah. So it explodes all of these activities. And can we see God at work? Do you think God is a big fat Santa Claus up in the sky that's sitting there just, you know, watching what's going on? Oh, look at look at that down there. You know, God's totally in control, working things for our good. So you and I can have that, the times when we're so satisfied with who God is because we've understood the word and we see the God at work. Do you see God at work constantly? He is at work. Rabbi Zacharias was talking and was saying, where was God when Cambodia was ripped apart by Pol Pot and the murders? And where was he when Stalin murdered all of those and Hitler murdered all of those? You know, where was God in all this? He had to speculate. And the way he did it was intellectually, that he lost me halfway through, I must admit. But you know, but the whole point was God is in the same place. He never moved. It's mankind who has his problem, not God. God didn't orchestrate all the horror that's happened. He gave a way of escape. He gave us the Prince of Peace. He gave us the Great Comforter. That's ours. Why do we complain and fuss? We do. It's what we are. We're fussing complainers. But we're complete in Christ. And that, I just find it so lovely. So that's where we're going. So time to blow the trumpets, or the shofar, it's called. And you notice it's a ram's horn, or goat's or ram's horn. Never a cow's horn. Do you ever wonder why? Huh? Speak up. Come on. You're from... The cow? No. It chews the cud and splits the hoof. That's okay. Cow's good. You have bullocks that are offered. Sue? Okay, but that doesn't tell me why the ram's horn is used and the cow's horn is not.
Maybe it's louder?
That's good, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, I like that, you're right. But that's not the reason. There's a specific reason. Okay, what did Israel do when Moses was on the mountain? You got it. What do you think? Who was it that said, okay, Israel, let's go to the split the Israel. 10 tribes went north. What was his name?
Jeroboam.
Thank you. It was Jeroboam. And what did Jeroboam do?
He had
a couple of them, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they worship? They worshiped the cow. So they never made one out of the cow. You know, God does that kind of stuff, you know. And somebody said something in Scripture. Everything in Scripture means something. And I thought, he's right, and it means something that God cares about the horn that he's going to use, you know. And if you want to know how it came about, well. We have to take a look in Numbers, if you will. Numbers, I think, is chapter 10. Yes. Look at what he's offered. I find it very interesting when he did this. I wonder what these things went. What if these things are available? You know, he says in chapter 10, verse 1, he says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make thee 2 trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shall thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble together to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie in the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps which lie in the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. They shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppress you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. You shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices for your peace offerings, that ye may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." Whenever Israel blew the trumpets, it was a memorial. that God proclaimed it and that God was involved in Israel's life. Every time the shofar was sounded, it was a calling together of remembrance to remember who God is and what it means to be part of the camp. And even how it was blown, you knew by the sound of the blow what it was, whether it was a call to assembly, whether it was to arm yourself. Like, don't we have bugles in the military? And every time they play something, either you... Well, I guess if they play reveille, or if they play taps, or if they don't they play something for chow hall? I think it's time for them to eat. They have a sound for that. So, you know, every sound means something, and Israel was responding to these sounds. So every time they have their feast, they would have the horns that would blow, and they would have this as a memorial. They're doing this before their God. What do we do before our God? We don't have those kind of sounds yet, do we? But we have the whole counsel of God that refers us to who he is and what he wants from us, don't we? So we don't need the trumpets right now to remind us to come together to read God's word, because that's something we can be doing on a constant basis. But Israel was required to hear the horns and to respond to them. So it was that sort of thing that God instituted. So Israel could then be what? Be better prepared to serve God. When they heard the horns, what was it for? It was for assembly of some kind at the temple. So God calls us to the temple. What temple has he called us to? Do you realize you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? So when God calls you, he calls you to yourself where you are. You don't have to assemble like this to get God's blessing. I'm not saying don't come, brother. That's not. But this isn't all that you have to receive a blessing from God. Okay? Wherever you are, you can open up the Word of God. And you can have that relationship with God right then and there. You don't have to wait for anything. I don't agree with where two or more are gathered together, here am I in the midst. Well, that has to do with a certain problem that has to be dealt with. And when you do it the right way, when two or more of you are gathered together, in that sense, God says, I'm in the midst. He's sanctioning that. But when there's one of you, do you need another one for God to be present? No, nope. You're indwelt. And dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Wow, I gotta knock my head a few times and remember that. Because I'm doing things and I'm going, oh man, this is lousy. I'm not doing right before my God. This isn't right. The way I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what's happening, I'm frustrated about. I don't have to be frustrated. Can't I trust God? You know. So we need somebody to blow a horn once in a while to wake us up. To say, God still cares, he's still on the throne, and he still loves us, and he's going to love us for all eternity. This is just the beginning. And what has God in store for us when we get in glory? There's a blessing and a blessing and a blessing. Can we cry, holy, 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 forever? Could we do that? It would be exhausting today, wouldn't it? I'll bet when you're in his presence, you'll have all the energy you need to give praise to him. Because he's worthy of praise. Look what he's done to redeem our souls. And you know how lousy, rotten we can be. We can be pretty despicable people, can't we? But in Christ, we have his blessing. So the feast and the trump of God is so important. This is the beginning. It's Rosh Hashanah is the beginning. It's like New Year, but the trouble is there's a bunch of New Years. I don't know if you know that. Israel has a whole bunch of New Years. Let me see if I wrote them down right, which I thought was a little frustrating in my mind anyway. paper clips are so much easier. I got this silly clip that you have to undo it and pinch it and all that kind of stuff. So bear with me. There. Now, Rosh Hashanah. It's a new year. Now, and Nisan, that is the month of Nisan, the first, begins another new year, but it's the religious new year. Israel drive you nuts when they do this. At least they, you know, don't be a Jew. You can't keep up with it, you know. And the month of Elul, which is later on, it's the new year for the animal tithe that was required. And then Shavat, the 15th of that month, was a tithing of the fruit. That was the requirement, the start of that. So these are all new years, I think. Then finally, it's the Tishri starts the civil new year, and that's the one called the Day of Judgment or the Day of the Sounding of the Shofar. So that's what this is. It's a civil new year. The religious new year happened one of the other months. So, boy, God gave how many commands to Israel? I think there's about 600, is it? I don't know. Come on, I can't keep, you know, I have a hard time keeping the Sabbath. I have a hard time getting up Sunday morning, you know? Boy, I tell you. So anyway, it's also, again, the sounding of that trumpet was what? A day of remembrance. So that's what this is. It's the ingathering and the day of remembrance that when you hear the trump, we're going to be gathered together. And to whom are we going to be gathering? We're going to be gathering together to the Christ of God, are we not? Isn't that what's going to happen to us? Remember that? If you don't believe me, you're going to have to look. You're going to have to look in Thessalonians. Find Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, right? 1 Thessalonians. And I think it's in around chapter 4, I believe it is. Is it not? Around 4:13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, even those which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, we are alive and remain, at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Okay. For the Lord himself, here it is, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and what? And the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, to emphasize that, find Thessalonians chapter 15, 1 Thessalonians 15. And check what he says at the latter part of that. Down 1551, that's the, we put that in the nursery, I think. They're not reading 1551. Read 1551. First Corinthians. Oh, okay. No, first. Well, you don't have 15 chapters in Thessalonians. Oh, yeah. No. And verse 51 of 15, that belongs in the nursery. A couple have read it. Okay? Does that fit? It fits. You know, they're all going to sleep. They're all going to be changed. Okay, well, we fit in 52 then, right? Now, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at what? The last trump. For again, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Oh, my goodness. We shall be changed. So the trump of God, the trumpet of God, he still likes trumpets. He still likes to hear the horns blow. He still likes the shofar to be sounded because it's a remembrance of his blessing for us. We're waiting for that. We can hear the trump of God. It's not, everybody says, well, it's the archangel supposed to be the trump? No, It doesn't say that if you read it here. You know, the other one, it says it's the voice of the archangel, but then it's the trump of God. So God's got, I bet you've got one of those silver trumpets up there. You know, because what happened to him? He had Moses make two of them. You know, they probably were absconded by some of these thieves that came in and ripped off Israel time and time again. But, you know, what happened to him? God might have one. He's got one of a special one up there that he blows. And he can't wait to blow it for us, I think. Yes, he can. He's sovereign. So, you know, we make him human, don't we? You know, like the animals we have. We make the animals human sometimes that we have. They're animals. You know what God thinks of animals? He made them for us to eat. You know? I'm serious. Isn't that crazy? But that's the way it goes. So, anyway, I was thinking of that it's the sound of the trumpet, and Moses is the one that was charged to make the silver trumpets. And it was for God's pleasure for his people. So, somebody's been scribbling on this paper. It doesn't make sense. I don't know if you have that problem, brother, but you know, I get that. Somebody keeps putting chicken fat on my paper, and somebody scribbles. And I got to stop them from doing that. The only one at home is Rhonda, and I don't dare raise a hand to her. You know, I get away with frowning at her once in a while, you know. But then she thinks the frowning is because I have indigestion, so it doesn't matter, you know. So I get away with it. So you want to try that, you know. I don't know if it works. You know, it's worth a try, you guys. There's only a couple of us here that we can do it to. Come and think of it. We're outnumbered. Even when there's more of us, we're still outnumbered, I find. So cheer up, ladies. God made us the way we are, endure and enjoy. You know, but I think the feast is a serious time. It's not a party time. When that horn was blown, it was for Israel to remember who he is and that there's a blessing coming. Because don't forget now, if we stop and think about Israel, refused the promises, the gifts, the calling. They broke the law. They despised the promises. They persecuted and killed the prophets. They betrayed and murdered the Messiah. And now and until today, refused the Spirit's testimony as to who God is. They have refused. Don't make that same mistake. God is going to call us one day with his trump, and he wants us waiting. Are you waiting for that trumpet sound? Or are you just tired of what's going on around you? I want things to change. Things ain't going to change. Not till he comes. So, God will have his promises fulfilled. So, they're only going to be fulfilled in Christ. So, the blowing of the trumpet is going to be heard around the world. As a matter of fact, some newspaper has the headlines in the vault somewhere. I kept hearing about the rapture, you know, because it's going to be a phenomenon that majority of the world won't recognize, or they won't like, they won't pay attention to. They're frightened. What is it? What's phenomenon is this happening? They'll have all sorts of other world activities rather than the total activity that it really is. They won't recognize it. So we'll be involved with it, but they'll be confused by it. So God's promises are going to be fulfilled, and it will be done through these feasts. So let's learn and enjoy these feasts as we can. So Christ will be, the blowing of the trumpet will be heard around the world. The trumpet's heard around Jericho. Remember that? Remember that? They marched around 7 times. And then they marched around 7 times on the last day. And then they all hooted and blew the trumpets, and down went the walls. Do you remember Gideon? How did Gideon rout the military that he was against? You remember him? He was pared down to 300 people. I think there was 100,000 Midianites down in the valley. 300, they had a pitcher hiding a lamp, and he had a trumpet. I blew the trumpet, the sword of Gideon, and shone the lights, and the Midian went crazy and started killing each other. You know? The trump again. The trumpet finds itself throughout scriptures. Even to the point when God raptures his people, it's going to be by the trumpet. So the Feast of Trumpets is an important feast for us to consider. The part that we're going to have in it is we'll be caught up in it. Okay? And that's going to be our great glorious time to be caught up with the saints in that. That's something about that. You ever think about the dead in Christ who rise first? Who do you know that's died prior to this? Do you ever think about who they are? They're going to rise from the dead. How do I know that? Did something like that happen when Jesus rose from the dead? I see a mouth going. Are you saying anything now, Pat, or is that? Okay, and what happened? Yeah. And some saints arose and walked in Jerusalem. Wow! Man, I'd start running. Woo! How about that? That's going to happen. There's going to be that time when the dead in Christ will rise first. What a phenomenon that's going to be. And then we that are alive and remain will caught up in the air. I don't know about you, but wow, science fiction notwithstanding. We're in for an awesome ride. You know? Changed in the twinkling of an eye. And that's what the Feast of Trumpets is all about. The coming of our God for us. His promises will be fulfilled. So, there's something I want you to see in Leviticus. Another horn. Leviticus 25. Yeah. Leviticus 25. And starting with verse 8, that's Leviticus 25 and verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, in the space of the 7th Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet, here it is, of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. That's the year of Jubilee. That's specific to Israel. Phenomena, again, how it was counted. He went 7, 7, 7 till you got 49. And then the 50th one, he hit you with the trumpet and the sound of Jubilee. Now, there's a statement in verse 10. I wonder if you may have heard that statement at any other time, any other place. 10. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Anybody heard? Does that ring a bell? Okay, that's, I like that. Thank you. That's not the answer, but that's good. That was good. I like that. But where is this found in our history? You got it. That's written on the Liberty Bell. Where proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That portion is inscribed on the Liberty Bell. So you think the people that started our country didn't know a little bit about the Bible? Yeah, I think somebody may have read it. That's rather obscure because that's within a sentence, isn't it? It's not, you know, for them to take that out. So someone had a fair knowledge of the Word of God, I dare say, that decided, let's put that up. And they said, yeah, okay, good idea. So they did it. But, I mean, I thought it would give you a hint when I said, does it ring a bell? But, you know, I'm trying to be a wiseacre. I don't have to try, I am. So the end of the year in view, it's also the end of God's ways. Don't forget. When the rapture occurs, what's left for mankind? That's the beginning of the end, is it not? Stop and think about that. When we're raptured, we'll be rejoicing in rapture, but oh my, all the horror that's going to go on the earth of those loved ones that haven't received Christ yet. That should sober us up a little bit. How many will be left behind to go through the tribulation? Should we be praying for our loved ones? Yeah. I mean, earnestly, constantly praying for our loved ones. Not just Wednesday night or here Sunday morning, but as you go on through the process of your days. Rhonda and I have a prayer. I don't know if it's becoming a ritualistic prayer, but we start at one end of the family and we pray to the other end, and then we thank God for the food. But it makes us every day to remember the families that we're concerned about, for those that have yet to receive Christ, and for those that are kind of flopping around, to be standing up, facing the east, you know, going after the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, these are days of awe. It had the days of repentance and of returning. And it concludes on the Day of Atonement. So, if we remember these things, we could go to so many scriptures to embellish what it means to follow after God's process. And just to give you an idea, turn to the book of Psalms and find Psalm 19. And if we start with verse 7, it talks about the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, and day after day uttereth strength. So it goes on with that. But then verse 7 starts, the verse where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on this day of remembrance. So do you remember these things that God has done for us? That's what he's saying. That's what the Day of Trumpets was all about. When you heard the trumpet, you realize it's a call to serve God. And when the trumpet was sound, they say, from Jerusalem, it could be heard in Jericho on a good day. Because I don't know if you know, Jerusalem is on a hill. I don't know if you realize that. Anywhere in Israel, wherever you go, you're going up to Jerusalem. So it was kind of a neat experience to travel on a bus and you go, I don't know, you've been to Israel. So my sister and I went a number of years ago, and great place to be. We'll be there again one day, because you know we're gonna be with Jesus when he comes back and touches his foot on Mount of Olives. We'll be part riding white horses, I don't like that. I don't like riding anything but smarter than me. Don't like that. But we'll have to, I think. Well, so anybody wondered if an animal's going to be in heaven, at least there's going to be horses, huh? I don't know if there's going to be anything else, but at least there's going to be horses, right? I don't know. Just something to think about. Just you got to have fun while you're going through this. After all, it's not all woe is me, you know. We're rejoicing in Christ, are we not? And how do you rejoice in Christ? Looking the way we do sometimes? Huh? How many times I got to say it? Cheer up, saints of God. You'll soon be dead. So, it's the day of honor, to honor God's authority. And his authority and his judgment. We praise to our God and to his sanctuary and to the his mighty expanse. And for all of his mighty deeds, and that's what the psalmist was expressing. The word shofar means trumpet in Hebrew. Again, we mentioned that. It's the ram's horn. But it was also thought that the ram's horn would be used because of Abraham. Remember what Abraham and Isaac, you recall what they went through? And how was Isaac saved? By what? Ram caught in the thicket. So that's another reason they... Israel does that kind of stuff. They kind of flower things up a little bit once in a while. I don't know if you know that. You know, like the Day of Atonement coming up. To be atoned for your sins, they take a chicken and they swing it over their head as atonement for their sins. Come on, Israel. You can't be that. You know? But don't forget, today's Israel, today's Jew doesn't have the temple. So they don't have the sacrificial system that is expressed in the scriptures. So that makes it tough, yes.
I have a question about that. Somebody was telling me that in Israel's law, if they had in the situation that if they were in Babylonian captivity or they didn't have access to the temple, that they could substitute, like say, a chicken for a ram or something. And I was just wondering if that was, if you knew anything about that.
Well, You that might be right, because there's so many of these stories that come out of the way Israel thinks and what they do today when they have to wear their hair in a long pigtail kind of thing. You have to remember that Israel is broken up of as many places like we have. How many Baptists are there? There's a whole bunch of us, aren't there? Like, you know, the Heinz 57 varieties, you know. And you got the Hasidic Jew, which is the Orthodox, and then you have the Reformed, and then you have the, I can't remember all of them, but you have these different groups and the way that they think and the way that they come up with these stories as to how they're going to keep the Word of God. They have the Torah and they have the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is the writings about the Torah, and they want to keep that one rather than the Torah. So, and they have rabbis that the revered rabbis that they revere, they almost worship. So you're going to have any kind of story come out, and I can't verify any of it. Okay?
I was just curious, because I'm no expert on the Levitical law, so I really couldn't find that. So I read Leviticus or anything.
Yeah.
I couldn't find that, so I really don't know.
No. Well, they don't keep the law as they're required to, I'm afraid. You know, she makes up her ways to get around it, like swinging a chicken over your head. That, I don't know, bizarre, but that's what they do in a ritual. They substitute different things. One Jew said to me, well, what about, how do they say it? Something about we have a messianic era rather than the Messiah himself. You satisfied with that? I'm not. And he was satisfied with a messianic era. No, you have to have the Messiah, the purpose of who he is. And Israel missed that. So I'm glad that we haven't. So the horn was blown for it was actually a symbol for worship. So we should be worshiping God during the rapture. It's going to be awesome to be in his presence. Wow, we'll be crying hallelujah, you know. I guess it'll be individual, though, huh? God can have a relationship with each and every one of us all at the same time. Wow. You waiting on that time? Huh? Can you imagine running and embracing the Christ of God? Can you imagine, dear ladies, how many of you nursed your children? Mary nursed the Christ of God. Wow. I love that song where it says, Mary, do you know, when you kiss that baby, you kiss the face of God. She didn't fully understand. She really didn't. And I think God kept it from her, because otherwise, what would she have done? How would she have treated that son? You know? So how should we treat that son? He's ours. Specifically, I want him from myself. Don't you? Because that's the way it worked. He'll be yours totally, completely yours for whatever problem you might have at that time. Crying in his bosom, wow. Being comforted by the person of Jesus Christ. Now that's just going to happen. The bell's going to ring, and I didn't even get the Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. So I'm going to have to double duty Sunday, is we'll do the Day of Yom Kippur, which is Day of Atonement, and that's the tribulation, and then we'll look at the tabernacles, which is the final time in the millennial for the time, and then Pastor's got something for us, okay? That sound like a working deal? You all going to agree to that? You will show up when you will enjoy yourselves. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God and the truth of it. Oh, Father, we await the trump of God. The sound of it will excite us, and the wonder of it will awaken our spiritual being to a point of change. And we thank you for that change, because right now we bust apart if we could be in your presence. But suffice it to say, dear Lord, that you love each and every one of us, and you're going to come for us that special day. So help us to be prepared for it, and also help us to be remembering many are not going to be prepared for that day. So bless us today as we thank you for your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.